So I want to tell you about this wealthy gentleman, older man. And he had married this beautiful, lovely, gorgeous young lady. And he was beginning to wonder whether she might have married him for his money. He was worried, so he asked her, "Tell me the truth. If I lost all my money, would you still love me?" And she said reassuringly, "Honey, don't be silly. Of course I would love you. And I would miss you terribly." 3, 4. Money has power in our lives. It does. I can't think of one of us that is exempt. It has you can't do anything without it. Used wisely, it can work to accomplish our goals. It can do lots of things. It can provide for our needs. It can fulfill our life's purpose. Used poorly, would you agree with this, that it can create undue stress, right? It can create anxiety and all sorts of health problems as we lose sleep and have stress. When we spend tomorrow's money today to satisfy ourselves, we essentially rob ourselves of peace. So often I've heard people, including my own parents, say, "If the pastor's preaching on money, I'm not going that Sunday." Have you heard this? Have you thought it? I get it. So I want to ask you, has anyone here been stung by those guilt-centered sermons that shame you into giving more? You ever encounter those? This is not one of those. This is a different approach. The Enough series is an invitation to rediscover the Bible's wisdom when it comes to finances and how to be prudent. And when practiced, it will be the key for you to contentment and joy and peace and overcoming fear and discovering joy through simplicity and generosity. This is a tool to help you. What God says about money in the Bible isn't designed to make you have less. It's designed to give you abundance and fulfillment. God does not want to cause you distress, especially financial distress. In 2003, the Royal Bank of Scotland offered Monty Slater a gold MasterCard with a $20,000 limit, which was impressive because it was, in fact, Monty's first credit card offer, $20,000 credit limit. And it's also impressive because Monty is a Shih Tzu dog. His owner did, for a flickering moment, consider it, but realized that Monty was really in no position to pay it off. The story really kind of illustrates a sobering truth, that we are in a society that constantly encourages us to live beyond our means. It feeds on our dreams, right? We all want the American dream. When I lived in Fond du Lac, I used to go to St. Agnes Hospital, and I frequented the meditation room. Just beautiful, this meditation room. It had a labyrinth, and it had different stations in the alcoves, different kinds of prayer stations, different things you could do. And if you look up in this right-hand corner here, you can vaguely see there's a chair. Do you see it? It's hard to see in this picture, but there's a chair, and this chair has a set of headphones with it and a CD player and different kinds of music, and it's a zero-gravity chair. It is a recliner that your feet go way up, your head goes, whoa, way back. I need the chair right now. And it is the chair of heaven, I swear. It is one of these chairs that alleviates every single pressure point in your body. And It relaxes you to the point where you feel completely light and unencumbered and at peace. I would go there maybe once every couple of weeks, and I would go back in this chair and I would think, this must be what heaven is like. This is amazing. I longed for a chair like this. And after some period of time, I started to do the research, and I found it online, the Ecosia Zero Gravity Recliner with Power Recline in chocolate. It comes in other colors, too. It was $1,999. $1,999. Like I didn't have the extra dollar, right? It was $1,999. And I briefly thought, after my father's passing a few months ago, I got a little bit of a gift. Now I can finally get my chair, and I will be happy. I looked it up online again, and I noticed that it had dropped $600. Oh, I was excited. So I put it in my cart, and I sat there a while. It was a bit hard for me to rationalize a nearly $2,000 chair, but it's a great chair. And weeks went by. Now, I do have chairs at my house, by the way. If you come to my house, there are places to sit. Okay? I have chairs. But this is that chair. It's $600 less. I mean, could I be justified? Oh, weeks went by, and I thought about it some more, and since the price was so low, I figured now's the time to pounce, especially now that I see there are only 5 left. I wouldn't want other people to get my beautiful, wonderful chair for $600 less. I thought about the precepts from last year's Financial Peace University. Darn it. There was one that especially weighed on my brain that was, is this what you really want to spend your money on? Because if you spend your money on this, you won't have that money to spend on something else. There isn't an unlimited supply. So do I want to spend it $1,399 on a chair that feels really good? Or maybe save it for something else, because my daughter was going to need braces. I know, tough decision. My finger actually hovered over the purchase button. It did. And then I decided to sleep on it. The next day was particularly stressful, and if you know me at all, you know that when I'm stressed, I go to my drug of choice, which is thrift store shopping. By the way, these shoes yesterday, $4.50. Very proud of that. Thank you. So I decided to take 20 minutes to take the edge off and go to St. Vinny's in Wanakee. And as I approached the furniture, you would not believe it, there it was. I kid you not. There was the chair in the furniture at St. Vinny's. So I walked up to it thinking, there's obviously a mistake. There's something wrong with it. I tried it out. I even pinched myself. And it worked. Everything on it was fabulous. And it had $40 on it. And I thought, do they mean $400? No, it was $40. I love these thrift stores. They don't know what they have. So I asked about it, and the guy that was helping me said that a friend of his had bought it for his mother, and she passed before she got a chance to use it. So it was brand new. I bought myself a $2,000 chair for $40. Now, I can't tell you whether or not I would have pushed the purchase button, because remember, I was sleeping on it. I may not have come across the chair at St. Vinny's, and I was thinking about it. I can't tell you whether I would have pushed the button that day. And I can't say that God intervened on my behalf. I can't say that either. But what I can tell you is that the lure of stuff is strong. And I can say with all honesty that there would have come a time when I would be looking at the chair and thinking, what was I thinking? I really could have used that $2,000. I really need it now. For most of us, the American dream has to do with an innate desire to pursue more than what we have. We want to satisfy ourselves. We want to get what it is we think will make us happy. We tend to measure our success by the stuff we have. We want to consume. We want to acquire. We want to buy our way to happiness. And we want it now. Of course, you do realize I did wait 6 weeks when I got the money to almost buying the chair. So, I mean, I did have some degree of restraint. But it's true, we want it now. We are in a society where we go to the grocery store and we get food that somebody already grew and prepared and packaged for us, and we put it in our cart. And we can go home and we can throw it in a thing that warms it, and we can eat it within maybe a half an hour. And we stand in line at the grocery store and we get upset because we have to wait for somebody in line before us, right? The American dream has become an American nightmare due to two distinct yet related illnesses. And they impact us both socially and spiritually. The first is called affluenza. It's the constant need for more and bigger and better stuff, as well as the effect that this need has on us. It is the desire to acquire. And most of us have been affected by this virus to some degree or another. I have clothes to wear. I have clothes to stay warm. But when I see a cute outfit, gotta have it. Here's the thing. The average American home, think about this, went from 1,600 square feet in 1973 to 2,400 feet in 2004. Why is that? Today, there's an estimated 1.9 billion square feet of self-storage in America. 1.9 billion square feet. We need to spend money on places to store our stuff that we spend money on. And think about how many TVs you have in your house. And think about how many TVs you had in your house growing up. We had one of the bigger TVs when I was growing up. It was like this. It was huge compared to my neighbors. We invited them to come over and watch our giant TV. The other illness is called creditis. And it's an illness that's brought on by the opportunity to buy now and pay later. And it feeds on our desire for that instant gratification. Our economy today is built on the concept of creditis. We are prey, honestly. It has exploited our lack of self-discipline. and it has allowed us to feed our affluenza. And it wreaks havoc in our personal and national finances. So here are some statistics from Financial Peace University. The average credit card debt in America in 1990 was $3,000. Today, it's over $9,000. The average sale is around 125% higher if we use a credit card than if we pay cash, because it doesn't feel real when we use plastic instead of cash. Or in my case, I do a lot of online shopping. When you just hit the button, it's so easy to just take the stuff from your cart and hit the button and purchase, because it's all connected to my bank account. So easy. And credititis is not limited to purchases made with credit cards. It extends to car loans and mortgages and second mortgages and other loans. The life of the American average car loan and home mortgage continues to increase, while the average American's savings rate continues to decrease. How did we get this way? There's a spiritual issue beneath the surface of affluenza and creditis. We got this way because of a spiritual issue. Our souls, this is truth now, our souls were created in the image of the Most High God, but they've been distorted. We were meant to desire God, but instead, we've turned that into the desire for possessions. We were meant to find our security in God, but we find it in the lure of possessions. We amass wealth. We were meant to love people, but instead we find ourselves competing with them. We were meant to enjoy the simple pleasures of life, but instead we busy ourselves with pursuing money and things. We were meant to be generous and to share with those in need, but we hoard our resources to ourselves. There is a sin nature within us, of which I am the biggest sinner. I promised I would not do the guilt thing, but oftentimes I'm preaching to myself. I think about the shoes. Now, I have shoes, but these were cute. And at the same time, there's somebody dying from starvation. Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." God wants us to have abundance. God wants us all to have abundance. The devil does not need to tempt us with drugs or to steal or to have an extramarital affair in order to destroy us. Not at all. All Satan needs to do is convince us to keep pursuing the American dream, to keep up with the Joneses, to borrow against our futures, to enjoy more than we can afford, and to indulge ourselves. By doing that, Satan effectively robs us of joy, makes us slaves, and keeps us from doing God's will. There was a time not so long ago when my daughter was a baby. I couldn't sleep. I was so excited, recently married about 2 years, and we were expecting a baby, so we bought a house, of course, because we wanted a great big house with a great big yard. And we needed a vehicle, so we got a minivan, because we needed to accommodate this small thing with a lot of stuff. And And I wanted to spend more time with her, so I quit a full-time job to take a part-time job. You see how this is all adding up? We wanted the American dream. And before too long, neither of us was sleeping at night. Spending money on stuff we don't need is how we get sucked into the vortex. But luckily, we have the best financial advisor and the best financial tool in the universe: God and God's Word in Scripture. Oh yeah, the Bible is a financial resource. It's a financial tool. Because anything we need to know about how to use our money to best help us and others is in the Bible. And although we receive a changed heart when we do accept Christ, in a sense we need to change our heart every morning, every day afresh. Every morning, I should, get down on my knees and say, Lord, help me to be the person I need to be today. Take away the desires that shouldn't be there. And help me to be single-minded in my focus and my pursuit of you. Maybe, had I prayed that prayer, I wouldn't have had a $2,000 chair in my cart online. As we do this and we pray and we ask God to direct us, God cleanses us from the inside out and purifies our hearts. Christ works in us as we seek first to strive for God's kingdom and to do his will. And we need to have a change of heart to do this. And that's not always easy. As it happens, we begin to sense this higher calling as we have this change of heart. A call to simplicity and faithfulness and generosity. We begin to look at ways we can make a difference with our time and our resources and our talents. By pursuing good financial practices, we free ourselves from debt so that we're able to be in mission to the world. And here's where we find peace. Here is where we find peace. A key part to finding financial and spiritual freedom is found in simplicity and in exercising restraint. Again, I'm preaching to myself. With the help of God, we can simplify our lives and silence those voices constantly telling us we need more. With God's help, we can live counterculturally by living below, not above, our means. With the help of God, we can build into our budgets the money to buy with cash instead of credit. And with the help of God, we can build into our budgets what we need to be able to live generously and faithfully. What is coming between you and God? What is coming between you and that joyful and abundant life? Amen.